إن الحمد لله. All praise is due to Allah. نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره. We praise Him, we seek His assistance, and we seek refuge with Him. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا. We seek refuge with Him from the evils of our own selves. ومن سيئات أعمالنا. And from the bad consequences of our deeds. من يهده الله فلا مضل له. Whomever Allah guides, no one can lead him astray. وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ. And whoever is led astray, then no one can guide him. أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. I testify openly that there is none worthy of worship other than Allah. وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. Who is alone, having no partners. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. And I further testify that Muhammad was his servant and final messenger. Amma ba'd, as for what follows, then by the grace of Allah and his bounties upon us all, he has blessed us to come together once again to read and study some of the verses of his glorious book from Surah Al-Qamar. And this is our second gathering to read from the tafsir of Surah Al-Qamar, from the work of the great scholar, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen. May Allah Ta'ala have mercy on him. We'll begin this week seeking the help of Allah on page 264 of the printed tafsir of Juz al-Dhariyat, beginning with Al-Hujurat and Surah Qaf. And that leads us to the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَلَقَدْ جَاءَهُمْ مِنَ الْأَنْبَاءِ مَا فِيهِ مُزْدَجَرٌ. And there has come to them already, surely, some news, some reports that contain within them, warnings of restraint, or warnings of warnings, we'll say. هذه الجملة, our Shaykh Rahimahullah Ta'ala says, هَذِهِ الْجُمْلَةِ, this sentence here, فِيهَا اللَّامُ وَقَدْ. It has لام and قَدْ, beginning with لَقَدْ, or وَلَقَدْ. And he's mentioned this لام and this قَدْ before in many verses in his tafsir. وَهُمَا مِنْ أَدَوَاتِ التَّوْكِيدِ. And they are from the linguistic devices that affirm things or confirm things. وفيها قسم مقدر دلت عليه اللام في قوله ولقد جاءهم. And there is also a swearing or an oath that is understood from the text or from the context, from the lam, in the statement ولقد, because لقد comes after an oath. Allah will say والشمس والقمر, and so on, you know, like وَالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُونِ وَطُورِ سِينِينَ وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينِ لَقَدْ خَلَقَنَا الْإِنسَانِ. So, وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ. This لَقَدْ with a fa or a wow or any device to make it connected to what's previous, this لَقَدْ comes as the response or the that which is connected to an oath being taken by Rabbul Alameen in his book, and sometimes that oath is not expressed, it is merely understood from the context, and that's what our Shaykh is mentioning here. He said that the qasam is there. فَعَلَيْهِ, so based on this, فَتَكُونُ هَذِهِ الْجُمْلَةُ مُؤَكَّدَةً بِثَلَاثَةِ مُؤَكِّدَاتٍ. That this sentence then is stressed, or the information in this sentence is emphasized by three linguistic devices that emphasize meanings. That is, al-qasam, the swearing, which is understood but not verbal, but not expressed there in the language. Wal-lam, waqad. And the lam from laqad and the qad itself. Those are all for confirmation and emphasis. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala sadiqun bighayri tawkeedin li khabarihi. And Allah, the Most High, the Glorious and Most High, He is truthful without any need for any rhetorical devices in the language to emphasize the accuracy of anything he says. Right? لَكِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ بِلِسَانٍ عَرَبِيٍ مُبِينٍ. However, this Qur'an has come in clear Arabic language. So these devices are used to express emphasis and confirmation. And the intention here is not to strengthen a doubtful matter, because the report of Allah Azza wa Jal without any linguistic emphasizing devices is absolute truth with no doubt at all in it. So this is emphasis from the language, the Arabic language, which is essentially not needed to confirm or validate that which Allah reports. وَلِسَانُ الْعَرَبِيُّ مِنْ بَلَاغَتِهِ تَأْكِيدُ الْأَشْيَاءِ الْهَامَّةِ. And from the expressive nature of the Arabic tongue is to emphasize important things with rhetorical devices. حَتَّى تَثْبُتَ وَتَرُسَخْ فِي الذِّهِنِ. So that it would become firmly, it would reach firmly the listener and would settle firmly in the listener's understanding. So from this you understand the benefit of the rhetorical devices used to emphasize or confirm the truthfulness of the reports of Allah are not for the benefit of the one speaking with those words, not for the benefit of Allah Azza wa Jal, who does not need any emphasis or confirmation for what he says, but for the benefit of those listening, for it to take root and become understood and become understood as something very important as it is meant to be. حَتَّى تَثْبُتَ وَتَرْسُخَ فِي الذِّهِنِ وَلَقَدْ جَاءَهُمْ أَيْ قُرَيْشٍ. It has verily come to them. Who are they? They are Quraysh, the tribe of Quraysh. جَاءَهُمْ مِنَ الْأَنْبَاءِ الَّتِي فِيهَا رُشْدُهُمْ وَصَلَاحُهُمْ وَفَلَاحُهُمْ. There have come reports that contain therein guidance for them, their manners, their correctness, and their success. That which would guide them to correctness and success. مَا فِيهِ مُزْدَجَرٌ أي إِزْدِجَارٌ عَنِ الشِّرْكِ وَالْعِصْيَانِ. إِزْدَجَرْ or مَا فِيهِ مُزْدَجَرٌ. The مُزْدَجَرْ is something that keeps you away from something. A warning, or a note, or a reminder to be restrained about something. The muzdajir here is a reminder to be restrained away from shirk and disobedience, polytheism and disobedience. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Walakinnahum lam yantafi'u bidhalik. However, they did not gain any benefit from that. They were not benefited by these expressive and emphasized warnings. Hikmatum baligha. Hikmah, wisdom, that is baligha, that is far-reaching, or that is reaching its intended goal. يعني أن الأنباء التي جاءتهم حكمة. Those reports that reached them were reports of wisdom. وهذا كقوله تعالى وأنزل الله عليك الكتاب والحكمة. And Allah had sent down upon you the book and the hikmah, the wisdom. والحكمة هي تنزيل الشيء منزلته اللائقته به. And the meaning of wisdom or hikmah in the Arabic language is the placement of everything precisely in its most appropriate place. ولا شك أن شريعة الله حكمة كلها ومطابقة لما فيه صلاح العباد في معاشهم ومعادهم. And no doubt, the Islamic legislation, or the legislation of Allah, is wisdom, all of it. And it is in complete correspondence, in complete harmony, with that which is in the best interests of what would rectify the servants, meaning the people, as it relates to their worldly life, their ma'ash, right, their life, their living, and their ma'ad, from awda. You go back. Where's the ma'ad? It's to Allah Azza wa Jal, right? From the names of Mecca too is al-ma'ad. Do you know from the names of Mecca is? Ma'ad. right? According to some of the scholars. Naam. Tayyib, Ma'ad is a place that you come back to, meaning that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left Mecca, and it was the most beloved of Allah's earth to his heart. He left it to go to Medina, and it was for him and for those muhajireen, it was the Ma'ad, it was the place of Awda. They came back to conquer it. They came back to conquer it. Alhamdulillah. Naam. وَقَوْلُهُ بَالِغَ The statement of Allah, بَالِغَ From al-bulugh, right? To reach its furthest state. أَيْتَامَ وَاصِلَ إِلَى الْغَرَضِ الْمَقْصُودِ مِنْهَا That it is complete and it reaches its destination or the extent for which it was designed to reach. فَمَا تُغْنِ النُّذُرُ However, the nudur didn't benefit. These warnings didn't suffice them. It wasn't enough for them. It wasn't sufficient to guide such people. مَا, the word مَا, فَمَا, يَحْتَمِلُ أَن تَكُونَ نَافِيَةً It could be nafia. When we say ma nafia, it's like ma, la nafia. Right? Like this. La zaydun fil bayt. There's no zayd in the house. Ma zaydun fil bayt. Zayd is not in the house. Ma ja'a zaydun. Zayd didn't come. Yarhamuk Allah. La ja'a zaydun. La ja'a zaydun. You can use la or ma. It's called menfia or nafia. To negate any verbal sentence, right? La yaf'aluhu, ma yaf'aluhu, ma fa'alahu, la fa'alahu, all of that, right? La and ma are nafiyah. That's one thing. So then, fama tughni nudur, that's a statement about the past that it did not benefit them. That's one way, that's one understanding. يعني أن النذر لا تغنيهم شيئا That the nudur, these warnings or warners, did not benefit them in any way. وَيَحْتَمِلُ This language, watch the language of our shaykh. When he says, يَحْتَمِلُ كَذَا وَيَحْتَمِلُ Another meaning. That means there are more than one. There are possible meanings for one verse. Right? And it is offering you, without any tarjih at this point, without any indication of which one is better, that both of these are possibly understood. From the verse, وَيَحْتَمِلُ أَن تَكُونِ اسْتِفْحَامًا The word ma also comes istifhamiyah. Istifham means a question. Istifhama, your talab al-fahm. You know, you want to understand, so you ask a question, right? Like istifsara, you want the tafsir, right? Istifhama. So istifham, ma. So فَمَا تُغْنِ النُّذَرِ Then what have the nudhr benefited them? Meaning it would be, a rhetorical question that means there's a negative answer, right? They haven't benefited them at all. So what did all these reminders benefit them? Meaning nothing, as a self-answering question. He says here, وَيَحْتَمِلُ أَن تَكُونِ اسْتِفْهَامًا عَلَى وَجْهِ التَّوْبِيخِ And this question being asked, then what did those warners benefit them? Then it is to shame them and to disgrace them with an obviously negative answering question, right? يعني فأي شيء تغنيهم Then what is it that's going to benefit them? And all of the warnings and the warners warned them, but nothing will benefit them. So what after that will benefit them? وَكِلَاهُمَا صَحِيحٌ And both of them are correct. Both meanings are correct. And this is again from our principles of tafsir that we've discussed so many times throughout the tafsir. And that we will be discussing, inshallah, in our other course called The Principles of Tafsir, is that so long as two possible things can be understood from the verse, and there exists no proof, no evidence to prove one being correct and the other being incorrect, then we say both of them, not only both of them are possible, but both of them were intended by Allah Azza wa Jal. That's the meaning of tafsir, is to bring out the intended meaning in the verses. So long as both meanings are linguistically possibly extracted from that verse, and there's no reason not to allow the verse to give that benefit, then we allow both meanings to be intended by Rabbul Alameen. It's a major difference between the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal and the speech of the created beings, other than the messengers who spoke with revelation from Allah. that when we speak with something, we generally mean one angle that could be understood from a phrase that might have two or three meanings. We intend one. Sometimes the more prolific, more expressive people can say something that has two meanings and they mean both, just to play a word game on someone here and there. But it takes a lot of thought and a lot of creativity to be able to express oneself in that manner. That's for the people. And for those who are known to be very expressive and very eloquent people, they speak with meanings. Jazakallahu khairan. They speak with meanings like that sometimes, but they can't continue it, right? And they couldn't possibly reach the level of the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal, where every angle that could be understood is in fact intended. That's the nature of perfect speech. Perfect speech. Human beings don't have perfect speech. So you cannot compliment the speech of the greatest of scholars, those less than the prophets, and think of all these angles like we think of tafsir, that you can understand this from his statement and that from his statement. So to apply the sciences of tafsir to the speech of the people has a very clear and basic flaw, that people don't speak with the perfection of eloquence like Rabbul Alameen has done with his Qur'an. So here we have both meanings are possible linguistically, so long as there is no corrupt meaning or a violation or something that aids bid'ah or something that produces a meaning which goes against another meaning in the Qur'an, then we say both meanings were intended by Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allahu Ta'ala knows best. So then, it is both a nafi and a question. It is both a negation that the messengers and the warners and the warnings that were sent to them did not benefit them, and it is a self-answering question. And what have these warnings benefited them? Meaning, absolutely nothing. فَالنُّذَرُ لَمْ تُغْنِهِمْ شَيْئًا. And so these warnings and warners did not avail them at all. وَإِذَا لَمْ تُغْنِهِمْ هَذِهِ النُّذَرُ المشتملة على حكمة بالغة فأي شيء يغنيهم. And since the reality is that these warnings and these warners did not give them any benefit, then what will benefit them after such warnings? These warnings which were inclusive of حكمة بالغة, the most far-reaching forms of wisdom were involved in these warnings. And that didn't benefit them. So what would benefit them after the warnings sent from Allah Azza wa Jal? Al-jawabu la shay. The answer is clearly nothing at all. In the middle of page 265. No. Al-jawabu la shay. لِأَنَّهُمْ مُعَانِدُونَ مُسْتَكْبِرُونَ. Because they are arrogant people. People of haughtiness. لِهَذَا قَالَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ فَتَوَلَّ عَنْهُمْ. And this is why Allah, the Most High, says in response to this, Allah the Mighty and Majestic says, فَتَوَلَّ عَنْهُمْ. Then turn away from them. How many verses have we come across in the last few surahs where Allah orders us with hajar? Allah orders us to turn away from certain people in certain circumstances. فَأَعْرِضْ عَنْ مَنْ تَوَلَّ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ from Surah Al-Najm. And so many verses where we've been told to turn away from people. Now, we've been told now to turn away from them. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being addressed, as our Shaykh says, Al-Khitabu lil-Rasuli sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The address here is specific, not specific, but it is initially to the Messenger. May Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. Tawalla an ha'ula. Turn away from such people. لِأَنَّهُمْ مُعَانِدُونَ مُسْتَكْبِرُونَ. Because they are haughty and arrogant people. سَوْفَ يَأْتِيهِمْ مَا وُعِدُوا بِهِ. There will come to them the things that have been promised or they have been threatened with. وَسَوْفَ يَتَحَقَّقُ لَكَ مَا وُعِدْتَ بِهِ. And what you have been promised will surely come to pass. وَيَحْسُنُ أَنْ يَقِفَ الْقَارِئُ عَلَىٰ قَوْلِهِ فَتَوَلَّ عَنْهُمْ. And it's proper that the one who recites this verse stops at this place. And that little meme in the Mus'haf indicates an obligatory stop, according to the codes written with those little things over top of the words of the Qur'an. There's a meme there. That meme is not for tajweed. It's not to tell you how to recite it in terms of the word, the actual articulation, but it's for the meaning for you to stop here. Right? That it means to stop. فَتَوَلَّ عَنْهُمْ يَوْمَ يَدْعُ الدَّاعِ Meaning, don't read فَتَوَلَّ عَنْهُمْ يَوْمَ يَدْعُ الدَّاعِ Don't read like that. Rather read فَتَوَلَّ عَنْهُمْ يَوْمَ يَدْعُ الدَّاعِ لَا شَيْءٍ نُكُرٌ Like that. You're going to read it with a stop there, even though it's not the end of a verse. And that's the meaning of that little meme there. And you can see in the masahif that are printed here, in the back of the masahif, you can see the explanation of the codes. That little meme has its meaning in the back to tell you that that is wajib al-wukuf, right? To stop there is obligatory. Why? ثُمَّ يَسْتَأْنِفُ وَيَقُولُ يَوْمَ يَدْعُ الدَّاعِ After you stop, you continue and then say, on the day when the caller will call out, لِأَنَّ الْقَارِئَ لَوْ وَصَلَ لَأَوْهَمَ أَنَّ التَّوَلِّيَ يَكُونُ يَوْمَ يَدْعُ الدَّاعِ And that's because if the reciter was to read, فَتَوَلَّ عَنْهُمْ يَوْمَ So turn away from them on the day. It will sound like he's being ordered to turn away from them on the day of judgment when the caller will call out according to the rest of the verse here. So that's a very likely understanding that a person would hear would get if they heard the verse connected like that. And that's why there's an order here to stop the recitation and start with Yom. Right? Naam. وَمَعْلُومٌ أَنَّ التَّوَلِّيَ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَلَيْسَ يَوْمَ يَدْعُ الدَّاعِ And the order to turn away is clearly known that it is in this worldly life and not on the day when the caller will call out. وَقَوْلُهُ يَوْمَ يَدْعُ الدَّاعِ ظَرْف And the phrase, the day the caller will call out, that is a ظَرْف, meaning it has an attachment of time to an event. It has an amil. Every dharf has an amil. Meaning, if I told you tomorrow morning, that has to be connected to a concept. Give me my book back tomorrow morning. If I just say tomorrow morning, I'm telling you a time or a place. I might say my house. It has no meaning until I attach my house to its amil. So the dharf or the jar, the majroor, or even a maf'ulun bihi has to be connected to an amil. If I told you in Arabic, zaydan, as an object, zaydan, it doesn't work unless there's an amil. Darabtu, zaydan. Now you know that zayd is the one that I hit, or meanings like this, right? So any maf'ul that's mansub, like zaydan, or it has the fatha on it, and other signs of being mansub, or any jar and majroor phrase, fil bayt, ala tawila, and so on, jar and majroor, or any dharf zaman or dharf makan. A dharf zaman is like fil ghadi, right? Or ghadan. It's a dharf of zaman, of time. It's a phrase that tells you about time. Or dharf al makan, taht al tawila, under the table, or folk at-tawila, above the table, and so on. Those are dharf makan. Alright? They all connect to something. What is the connection here? So, yawma yadu'u da'i, what about this day where the caller will call out? What's it connected to? Well, it's coming. يَخْرُجُونَ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ That's coming in the next verse. So this dharf is connected to what's coming in the next verse, as our shaykh is going to explain. وَالْظَرْفُ لَابُدَّ مِنْ عَامِلٍ And I've already explained that. كالجاري والمجرور I've explained that لابد له من عامل explain that وكجميع المفعولات لابد لها من عامل all of the مفعولs as well must have an عامل explain that فما هو العامل then what is the عامل that is connected what is the meaning the essential meaning that's connected to the day you know what about this day when the caller will call out العامل قوله يخرجون from the verse خشعا أَبِصَارُهُمْ يَخْرُجُونَ in the very next verse. Brought, their eyes will be brought down and humbled and they will come out. And we'll find out what they'll come out of and how they will come out in that verse. فَهِيَ مُتَعَلِّقَةً بِيَخْرُجُونَ So this يَوْمَ يَدْعُ الدَّاعِ this ظرف, this time period that you've been now thrust into as a follower of the reading of this Qur'an, you've been pushed now into a time to understand the meaning of this verse. On the day when the caller will call out, what happens on that day? What is being talked about exactly? يخرجون, huh? That they will come out. They will come out. So فَيَأْتِيهِمُ الْعَذَابُ فِي ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ فِي ذَلِكَ الْوَقْتِ يَوْمَ يَخْرُجُونَ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ كَأَنَّهُمْ جَرَادٌ مُنْتَشِرٌ. On that day, that's when the punishment will come to them, on the day when they come out of their graves like grasshoppers flying about. Like grasshoppers flying about, or spread about, going each and every way, scattered about. Yeah. وَقَوْلُهُ يَوْمَ يَدْعُ الدَّاعِ إِلَىٰ شَيْءٍ نُكُرٍ. And the statement, a day when a person will call out or invite to something that is nukr, that is munkar, that is something evil. هُوَ الدَّاعِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. He is the caller on the Day of Judgment. إِلَىٰ شَيْءٍ نُكُرٍ. To something that is nukr or munkar. أي مُنْكَرٌ عَظِيمٌ لِشِدَّةِ أَهْوَالِهِ. Very evil, very disastrous, huh? Because of the severity of the calamities that take place on that day, the Day of Judgment, huh? فَإِنَّهُ لَا شَيْءَ أَنْكَرَ عَلَى النُّفُوسِ مِنْ ذَٰلِكَ الْيَوْمِ. Because there's nothing more that the souls fear more, or the souls are afraid of, and the souls don't find any familiarity with. When you say something is munkar, it also has the meaning of being strange and not appropriate and not accustomed, something you're not accustomed to. Right? Naam. So that day is a day of nukur, a day of this great strangeness or incompatibility or lack of ease and lack of comfort. فَإِنَّهُ لَا شَيْءٌ كَرَى النُّفُوسِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ. Nothing can be more uneasy and detested to the people than that day. لِأَنَّهُمْ لَمْ يُشَاهِدُوا لَهُ نَظِيرًا. Because they had never witnessed anything similar to that day and what will happen on that day. خُشَّعًا أَبْصَارُهُمْ. خُشَّع. They will be خُشَّع. They will be people of خُشُوع. أَبْصَارُهُمْ. Their eyes will be down and humble and lowly. The kuffar on that day. Not because they're pious, not because they're humble, not because they are going to be rewarded, but because they are disgraced and they're going to be punished on that day. That's the day when the honor will be for those who worship Allah Azza wa Jal alone, and those who obey the orders of Allah Azza wa Jal. And they are the ones who will be rejoicing on that day. And the ones whose heads were high in the dunya, in arrogance, looking down on the people, those will be the ones, خُشَّعَنْ أَبْصَارُهُمْ. Their eyes will be low down and they'll be looking around in humility and disgrace, just catching a glance every now and then, looking out of the corner of their eyes to see what's happening. Their heads will be lowered in disgrace. يعني أن أبصارهم خاشعة ذليلة. Their eyes are surrendered and lowly. Right? كما قال الله عز وجل, as Allah the Most High or the Mighty and Majestic said, يَنْظُرُونَ مِنْ طَرَفٍ خَفِيٍ. And they look from very subtle and hidden glances from the sides of their eyes and from this lowered state of their heads. The beginning of that verse is, وَتَرَى الظَّالِمِينَ لَمَّا رَأُوا الْعَذَابَ يَقُولُونَ هَلْ إِلَىٰ مَرَدٍ سَبِيلٍ. This is from Surah Ash-Shura, 44th verse and 45th verse. On the day, you'll see the oppressive people on that day, when they see the punishment, they will say, is there any way to go back? Is there any way to return and go back? وَتَرَاهُمْ يُعْرَضُونَ عَلَيْهَا خَاشِعِينَ مِنَ الذُّلِ. And you'll see them being pushed into it or forced upon this punishment, and they'll be خَاشِعِينَ. And they'll be submissive. They have no way to fight. They have no way to protest or say anything. They will be submissively pushed into this punishment, right? Where are we exactly? أَيْوَ خَاشِئِينَ مِنَ الذُّلِّ. From humility, they will be submissive and being pushed into that. ينظرون من طرف خفي. They will be looking from the side of their eyes or from angles which are very, very hidden. They will not be able to raise their heads and look as everyone else will look of those who are believers on that day. May Allah Ta'ala save us. Ameen. طيب وهم الآن مستكبرون رافعوا رؤوسهم. These people today, they are arrogant and haughty, raising up their eyes, raising up their heads and their sights. يرون أن الناس تحتهم. They believe all the people are beneath them. وأنهم فوق الناس. And they are the ones who are up and above everyone. Arrogant, haughty people. لكن سيأتي اليوم الذي يكونون بالعكس. However, the day will come when affairs will be the opposite. نعم خشع عن أبصارهم. Humble and lowly with their eyes. يخرجون من الأجداث كأنهم جراد منتشر. They'll come out of their graves like grasshoppers spread about. And what's the word you use?
Scattered.
Scattered grasshoppers. Grasshoppers scattering about, flying about. They don't know where to go. If you've seen grasshoppers, how do they fly? They zigzag and they have no plan. And they seem to just fly about randomly, right? So in that case, this is the way they'll come out of their graves on the Day of Judgment. Subhanallah, may Allah save us. Al-ajdath hi al-qubur. Ajdath, the word ajdath in Arabic, means graves. Qubur. Wal-jarad al-muntashir hu al-munbathu fil ard. These scattered grasshoppers, they are the ones that are all about the land. الَّذِي لَا يَدْرِ أَيْنَ وَجْهُهُ. The ones that don't know where they're going. They don't know where their direction is. لَيْسَ لَهُ طَرِيقٌ قَائِمًا. They have no path to take that is straight, that is clear. They have no planned direction to take. لَا يَعْرِفُ كَيْفَ يَنْتَهِي. They don't know where they're going to end up. They just flicker and fly, flipping their wings randomly, and they land where they land. وَلَكِنَّهُمْ مُنْتَشِرُونَ. They are spread about so widely though. They are scattered about. وَهَذَا مِنْ أَدَقِّ التَّشْبِيحَاتِ. And this is from the most expressive or precise in their expressions, the most precise ways of describing things through analogies or through something that you know. On the Day of Judgment, these people will come from their graves like they are grasshoppers scattered about. لأن الجراد المنتشر المنتشرة تجده يذهب يمينا ويسارا لا يدري أين يذهب. Because these scattered grasshoppers, you find them that they go left and right and they have no idea where they're going. فهم سيخرجون من الأجداث. So these disbelievers will come out of their graves على هذا الوجه. In this kind of interaction. بينما هم في الدنيا لهم قائد ولهم أمير. While they were in this worldly life, people of direction that had leadership, that had organization, they had someone to lead their way. ولهم موجه يعرفون طريقهم. They had someone to guide them and show them which way they were going, and their affairs were organized. وإن كان طريقا فاسدا. Even if the actual path that they were taking was corrupt, they were nonetheless organized and under leadership and under a clear plan of where to go. مهطعين إلى الداع. They will be rushing forth, moving their feet quickly with their heads forward to this caller that calls them on the Day of Judgment. يعني أنهم مسرعون خافضوا الأعناق. They will be rushing with their necks, heads, shoulders, all of that down and forward as they rush. They'll be rushing like grasshoppers scattered about, rushing along in this manner. May Allah Ta'ala save us. نعم كالرجل إذا أسرع وركض تجده يقدم رأسه يخفضه. Like when a man begins to run quickly towards a goal, you'll find him moving his legs fast and putting his head forward and lowering it down, as if he, you know, when he goes towards something that is intended. فهم يخرجون من الأجداث مهطعين إلى الداعي. So they come out of their graves with this attribute, heads down, rushing forth to answer the call of this caller who calls out. أيوة أي مسرعين خافضوا رؤوسهم من الفزع والهول والشدة. They will be rushing forth in haste due to the terror, due to the pure terror of that day, and the الفزع is the shock, you could say. The فزع is the shock, and the هول is the terror. The شدة is the severity of that day. يقول الكافرون هذا يوم عسر. And the disbelievers will say on that day, this is a difficult day. هذا يوم عسر. This is a day which is difficult. عسر, the opposite of يسر. Right? وتأمل قوله. Think carefully about his statement. يقول الكافرون. The kafirs, the disbelievers will say, ولم يقول يقول الناس. And Allah didn't say that the people would say, all of the people. Rather, the disbelievers will say this. لأن هذا اليوم العسير لا شك أنه في حد ذاته عسير شديد عظيم. Because this day, this difficult day, no doubt, it is as it relates to itself, by itself, it is a difficult, severe, and great day. ولكنه على الكافرين عسير. Upon the disbelievers, even more so, a difficult day. وَعَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَسِيرٌ. However, it will be a day of ease for the believers. May Allah make us from those who the day is a day of ease. كَمَا قَالَ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. As Allah the Most High and Blessed has said, وَكَانَ يَوْمًا عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ عَسِيرًا. Description of the Day of Judgment was a day upon the disbelievers which is very difficult. From Surah Al-Furqan. وقال تعالى, and Allah the Most High has said, على الكافرين غير يسير. To negate ease as well. It is a day that is not easy on the disbelievers. وأما على المؤمنين فهو يسير. As for the believers, that day will be easy. ولله الحمد جعلنا الله منهم. And to Allah is the praise, and may He make us from them. He mentioned here proofs that it will be difficult on the kuffar. And he didn't mention a proof that it will be easy on the disbelievers. Well, let's say he didn't explicitly mention a proof that it will be easy on the believers. As a note, before I ask you for a verse that you might know of that describes the Day of Judgment as a day of ease for the believers, every verse that describes the Day of Judgment as a difficult day for the disbelievers is in itself a proof that that day will be easy for the believers because of something we call mafhum al-mukhalafa, the opposite understanding. So if Allah describes something as being difficult for the disbelievers, then that means it is easy for the believers. Tayyib. So as I said, the Shaykh did not explicitly mention a verse that says that day will be easy on the believers, but he mentioned indirectly proofs that we can understand that from through the description of difficulty for the disbelievers. Tayyib, give me an explicit ayah that talks about the Day of Judgment being easy on the believers. Juz amma. Easy. I'm not asking you for حفظ القرآن كاملا. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. Right, for the one who gets his book in his right hand, he will have an account that is easy, yasir. نسأل الله يجعلنا منهم. May Allah make us from those people. أصحاب اليمين. آمين. طيب. فائدة from this verse. There are ahadith ascribed to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, which indicate that we should make this dua. اللهم حاسبني حسابا يسيرا. As a note here, in terms of the science of hadith, as the scholars of hadith have said, none of those narrations are authentic. It's not from your Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. specifically to make dua with that phrase, to think it's ma'thur, like one of his phrases, to say, Allahumma hasibni hisaban yasira. If you said it, it's permissible to ask for whatever you want from Allah Azza wa Jal. But there's a distinction between that which comes from the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you are worshipping Allah by following his dua phrase by phrase, and that which you decide to ask for from your own language. Oh Allah, make my wife a better woman. Oh Allah, make me a better husband for my wife. These aren't ad'iyah that you learn from the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they are your role as a Muslim to ask Allah Azza wa Jal for everything you need in your life. Tayyib. So it's okay to say, Allahumma hasibni hisaban yasira. And we would say it now, Allahumma hasibna hisaban yasira. Oh Allah, give us an easy account on that day. However, it's not sunnah, and it's not something you stick to as a practice, like what you would say from the phrases of remembrance or supplications that you learned from your Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam. ثُمَّ بَدَأَ اللَّهُ How's our time? Good, huh? ثُمَّ بَدَأَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِقَصَصِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ Then Allah Azza wa Jal, the Mighty and Majestic, begins with the stories of the Prophets. عَلَى وَجْهٍ مُخْتَصَرٍ So up until now, we've had a single flow of expressions. And the change, there's a change in the content now, going to the previous stories, the stories of the previous prophets. Allah now begins to talk about the previous prophets. عَلَى وَجْهٍ مُخْتَصَرٍ In a very summarized way. Not like other surahs where more detailed accounts are given. But in a very summarized way. فِي هَذِهِ السُّورَةِ In this surah right now. لَكِنَّهُ مُؤَثِّرٌ تَأْثِيرًا بَالِغًا However, these very brief mentions of these prophets one by one are very expressive and very effective. Very hard-hitting in terms of how they reach a person and how they affect a person. لَوْ قَرَأْتَهَا بِتَمَهُّلٍ وَتَدَبُّرٍ لَوَجَدْتَ أَنَّهَا مُؤَثِّرَةٌ جِدًّا If you were to read them with care, with reflection, then you would find that they are very expressive and moving passages. كلمات مختصرة لكنها رادعة تماما They are very short phrases, however they have such powerful admonitions found within them. كذبت قبلهم قوم نوح The very first of them is that before them, meaning before Quraysh, the tribe of Nuh, the people of Nuh rejected him, rejected Nuh. وَنُوحٌ هُوَ أَوَّلُ رَسُولٍ أَرْسَلَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ Nuh is the very first messenger of Allah sent to the people of earth. بِدِلَالَةِ الْقُرْآنِ وَالسُّنَّةِ By proofs in the book of Allah, the Qur'an and the Sunnah. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَىٰ Allah, the Blessed and Most High, has said, إِنَّا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ كَمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ نُوحٍ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ And verily we have revealed revelation to you, or sent down revelation upon you, as we have sent down revelation upon Nuh, Noah, and the prophets after him. That passage clearly indicates that Nuh was the first one to receive revelation, And then he's mentioned with those after him. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ وَجَعَلْنَا فِي ذُرِّيَّتِهِمْ النُّبُوَّةَ وَالْكِتَابِ And we sent forth Noah and Abraham. And we have made them, we have made within their offspring prophethood and revelation, or al-kitab, books of revelation. Right? The first verse was from Surah Nisa, the 163rd verse. And this latter verse is from Surah Al-Hadid, the 26th verse. وَبِهَذَا And through these two phrases, or these two verses or proofs, نَعْرِفْ أَنَّمَا ذَكَرَهُ بَعْضُ الْمُؤَرِّخِينَ مِنْ أَنَّ إِدْرِيسَ هُوَ الْجَدُّ لِنُوحِ كَذِبٌ لَا شَكَّ فِيهِ Through this we understand that what some historians have mentioned about Idris being the grandfather of Noah And that is something that is untrue, without doubt. وَلَيْسَ قَبْلَ نُوحٍ وَلَيْسَ قَبْلَ نُوحٍ رَسُولٌ There is no prophet, no messenger, sorry, no rasul before Nuh. And in the hadith of Shafa'a, وَفِي حَدِيثِ الشَّفَاعَةِ التَّسْرِيحُ بِأَنَّهُ أَوَّلُ رَسُولٍ بَعَثَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ In the hadith of Shafa'a, that's in Bukhari and Muslim, we find a clear, explicit mention that he is, or he was the very first messenger dispatched by Allah and sent to the people. وَأَنَّ آخِرَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَالرُّسُلِ مُحَمَّدٌ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ And that the last of all prophets and messengers is, or was Muhammad, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. طيب, like you want to ask me, what about Adam? Wasn't Adam a prophet? Wasn't he before Nuh? Who can answer it?
He was a Nabi.
He was not a Rasul. He was a Nabi and not a Rasul. And that's correct. He was a Nabi. Right? Allah Azza wa Jal gave him revelation. Right? وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهِ Directly taught him. Right? And gave him wahi. However, he wasn't considered a Rasul. According to the majority of the scholars, the Rasul, from the language, and in the shara' or the technical definition of a Rasul, is someone given wahi, and he was dispatched and ordered to convey that wahi to the people. As opposed to a Nabi, from the word nabba'a, he's munabba, he's someone given information, given revelation, but not ordered to convey it. What would the fa'idah be here when we say Noah was ordered to convey, but why wasn't Adam ordered to convey his revelation? Exactly. First of all, when Adam, jazakallahu khairan, when Adam was given revelation, he was alone with his wife only. So who is there to be ordered to convey it to? Later, there were children and offspring, of course. But are there people that need to hear this message? No. In the time of Adam. So there's no need for him to be a Rasul, Yursiluhullah, that he's dispatched and sent to the people. Tayyib. The hadith of the Shafa'a, what is it? The Shaykh mentioned here the hadith of the Shafa'a. Do you know what he's referring to here? The hadith of Anas, Ibn Malik, and others from the Sahaba who said, just long hadith about the Day of Judgment, about the people will be in so much stress and terror and fright, and they will have no idea who to go to and how will the people help them. So they start looking to each other for help, and no one will be able to help them. So they'll look to the Prophet, to the very best of people. The first one they look to is Adam, before Nuh. They look to Adam first. And they say, Adam, you are the grandfather of all mankind. Allah made you with His hand. They mention, you know, praises of Adam. Ishfa' lana 'inda rabbak. Go and be an intercessor for us to Allah to get us out of this terror on this day. And Adam will mention his khati'ah, that he slipped and ate from the apple and disobeyed the order of Allah Azza wa Jal and excuse himself. So then the people will look around for the next one. Who will they go to now? Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, the next one. And they'll say to him, Ya Nuh, anta awwalu rasulin arsalahu Allahu ila ahli al-ard. You are the first rasul. That's explicit, more explicit than the verses of the Quran. The verses of the Quran you have to extract from them in an indirect way that Nuh was the first rasul. But this one is clear, coming from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, describing what the people will say to Nuh directly on the Day of Judgment. You were the first Rasul that Allah sent to the people of earth. Tayyib. That's a proof right there that Adam was not a Rasul, but Adam was just a Nabi. From that, the scholars say, all of the Rasuls, they are Anbiya. The Anbiya are a larger group. And within the Anbiya, you have a smaller, more select group of Rasuls. Tayyib. And every Rasul is a Nabi. But not every Nabi is a Rasul. Tayyib. Another hadith point. That which is called Hassan by Shaykh Al-Albani. That which is called Hassan by other scholars as well. The hadith, Al-Anbiya'u 124,000. The the prophets are 124,000 in number. منهم ثلاثة وخمسة عشر رسولا. From them there are 315 messengers. Right? A number of the scholars relied on this hadith to say quite clearly what we've said here. The Anbiya are a large group, and from those there is a small group. 315 rasuls out of 124,000 prophets. That hadith with those numbers is not authentic, and Allah Ta'ala knows best. That was the seeming conclusion of the great scholar of hadith when he discussed all of the routes of this hadith in his tafsir, Al-Imam Imaduddin Ibn Kathir. In his tafsir, he discussed all the routes of the hadith, and for those who know how the scholars, especially Ibn Kathir, dealt with defects of hadith, he seemed to conclude that none of that was authentic, and all of it is, there's some confusion and some mixed up wordings by all of the narrators and all of those narrations. So it's something that the scholars of hadith said, it's mukhtalat, it's muttarib, it's narrations that are confusing, narrations that don't add up, narrations that don't strengthen each other, narrations that don't support each other, narrations that give you the feeling that this is not something preserved from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the scholars differ from them, or some that look at those phrases and they say, no, we can understand the relationship of strengthening each other from this, and they would call these narrations hasan li ghayrihi, or acceptable in the realm of authenticity. And Allahu Ta'ala knows best. What seems to be most correct is what more of the early scholars seem to indicate, that hadith is not authentic. And Allah Ta'ala knows best. طيب, so Nuh was the first Rasul based on those verses from the Quran and the hadith of Shafa'ah. Right? And in that is an indication that Adam was a Nabi but not a Rasul. Right? And then you have Allah's description in some surahs of the Quran, وَكَانَ نَبِيًا رَسُولًا, and he describes some of the prophets and messengers as being a Nabi and a Rasul, and others just a Nabi, and so on. Those are all gathered by the scholars to look at, to come to this conclusion that the Anbiya are a larger group. Whether that hadith of 124,000 is authentic or not, that the Anbiya seem to be, in terms of all the texts, a larger group, and the Rusul, the Rasuls, are a smaller, more select group from them. وَبِهَذَا نَعْرِفُ أَنَّ مَا ذَكَرَهُ, we mentioned that, right? وَلَيْسَ قَبْلَ نُوحٍ, we mentioned that. وَلِذَٰلِكَ كَانَ مِنْ عَقِيدَتِنَا أَنَّ أَوَّلَ الرُّسُلِ نُوحٌ, and thus, from our belief, is that the first of the messengers was Nuh, Noah. وَأَنَّ آخِرَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَالرُّسُلِ مُحَمَّدٌ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, and the last of them, the messengers and prophets, was Muhammad. كَذَّبَتْ قَبَلَهُمْ قَوْمُ نُوحٍ, and they had rejected, those before them had rejected Nuh, or those before them had rejected, meaning the messenger. لَمْ يُفَصِّلِ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ هَذَا التَّكْذِيبِ, in this occasion Allah has not given detail to this rejection. What did they say and how did they say it and so on. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Take a little bit more and finish up for today. طيب, we'll just discuss here a few last points, the three kinds of عبودية, and we'll finish here, inshallah ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala did not explain in detail the story or the accounts of the people of Nuh and how they rejected him, but rather he sufficed with a very an abridged version of that account. فصل الله فيها تفصيلا تاما وهي سورة النوح عفوا لكنه أنزل في ذلك سورة تامة وهي سورة نوح. Allah had revealed with the details of that account an entire surah, and that is called Surah Nuh. Right? فصل الله فيها تفصيلا تاما في تكذيبهم وأخذهم. Allah had explained in great detail in that surah regarding the way they rejected him and the way they were taken. فَكَذَّبُوا عَبَدَنَا. And so they rejected, or they considered our slave to be a liar. عَبَدَنَا, right? وَهُوَ نُوحٌ. And he is Nuh, the slave that's being referred to here, the abd, right? وَصَفَهُ اللَّهُ بِالْعُبُودِيَّةِ. Allah has described him with this, with slavery, that he's an abd, he is a slave. لِأَنَّ الْعُبُودِيَّةَ أَشْرَفُ أَلْقَابِ الْبَشَرِ. The status of being an abd, being a slave to Allah, is the highest ranks of titles that a human being can reach. وَهِيَ تَذَلُّلُ لِلَّهِ بِالطَّاعَةِ وَالْإِنَابَةِ وَالتَّوَكُّلِ وَغَيْرِ ذَلِكَ. And it is to lower oneself in submission to Allah with obedience, repentance, and putting one's trust in Allah and other actions. وَالْعُبُودِيَّةِ مِنْ حَيْثُ هِيَّ ثَلَاثَةُ أَنْوَاعٍ. And عُبُودِيَّة, the station or the rank of being an abd, being a servant of Allah, is three ranks of being an abd. There are three kinds of slaves of Allah. Right? Before I mention that, let's provide proof for the statement of the Shaykh here, that the title abd is the highest rank that a servant can reach. That was mentioned, I think, in a very recent lecture, the proof for that. I mean, think logically here. What was the highest physical station the messenger ever reached? Where was it? When was it? In Sirah. Isra and Mi'raj. He was brought up to the heavens. He was granted permission to ascend up close to Allah, higher than even Jibreel could go. That is a rank of highness and status, physically and in meaning. That he was allowed to ascend above where Jibreel reached his limit. Allahu Akbar. At that event, or describing that event, Allah has talked about him in the very beginning of a surah called Surah Al-Isra, surah of the night journey. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا. طيب, so glorified be Allah, the one who took his abd. So at the very time when he reached his highest point of status and elevation that he had in this dunya, at that point he was described as an abd. At the closest that he was ever to going up to Allah, he was described as abd. Scholars have deduced from that 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 is the highest ranking title that you have with Allah, if you are a true abd of Allah, and He recognizes you as His abd. And thus Allah, in verses of the Quran, when He wants to praise His beloved servants who are dedicated to Him, He says, for example, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنَ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا. And the ibad of Ar-Rahman, the real servants, the slaves of Ar-Rahman, are the ones who walk humbly on earth. Right? Meaning the very best worshippers, the very best people reaching the highest ranks of manners and beliefs. This is how they behave and how they interact. There are three kinds of ubudiyya now. First kind, ubudiyyatun amma, general ubudiyya. No one is exempt from this, not even Fir'aun, not even Iblis. They're all Abdullah in this regard. تَشْمَلُ جَمِيعِ الْخَلْقِ. This includes all of the creation. That it is the servant of Allah from some way. You'll see. وَهِيَ تَذَلُّلْ لِلْأَمْرِ الْكَوْنِ. They are those who submit as slaves to the all-encompassing orders of Allah that govern the creation. Quick example, like gravity. As much as someone wants to rebel against the orders of Allah, he cannot just simply say, I refuse to accept gravity and I disobey gravity. It's impossible, right? Gravity is from the awamir kauniyya, things that Allah has ordered, and no one has a choice to comply or not. Everyone submits to Allah Ta'ala. Right? كَقَوْلِهِ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى, like his statement, and he is the most high and most blessed, إِن كُلُّ مَن فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِلَّا آتِ الرَّحْمَانِ عَبْدًا. There are none in the heavens or upon earth except that they are in some way, they come to Allah as an abd, meaning they submit to his laws that govern the universe that they live in. That's from Surah Maryam. أي ما كُلُّ من في السماوات والأرض إلا هذه حاله. No one in the heavens or upon earth except that this is their situation. أنه آت الرحمن عبدا, that they come to Allah as a servant, meaning by following the laws that govern the creation. وهذه العبودية للأمر الكوني, this is a servitude or the idea of being a slave within the natural laws that Allah has set for the creation. لِأَنَّ أَمْرَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ الْكَوْنِ لَا يُمْكِنُ لِأَحَدٍ أَنْ يَفِرَّ مِنْهُ مَهْمَا كَانَتْ قُوَّتُهُ. Because these laws that govern the creation, no matter how strong someone is, he could never repel them or act against them. النَّوْعُ الثَّانِي, the second kind of rank of being an abd, is الْعُبُودِيَّةُ الْخَاصَةُ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ, the specific kind of being an abd that's for the believers, right? مثل قوله تعالى وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا, from Surah Al-Furqan. And the example is the statement of Allah the Most High, and the ibad, and the abds, the servants of Ar-Rahman, the Most Compassionate, they are those who walk about the earth in humility, humble. فهذه عامة لكل مؤمن. This is a description of all believers, right? والثالث, the third rank of being an abd, is العبوديه الخاصه بالانبياء, that rank of being an abd that only the prophets could attain. وهذه مثل قوله تعالى سبحان الذي اسرى بعبده ليلا, from Surah Isra, exonerated be he who took his abd by night, on a night's journey. And the beginning of Surah Al-Furqan, تبارك الذي نزل الفرقان على عبده. Right? The blessed be the one who sent the Furqan, وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله, the criterion, the revelation of that is a criterion between truth and falsehood, upon his abd, upon his specifically identified servant. Another verse, الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا. Right? وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْهُ عِوَجًا. That's from the beginning of Surah Al-Kahf. وَمِنْ ذَلِكَ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ فَكَذَّبُوا عَبْدَنَا. فَكَذَّبُوا عَبْدَنَا. Right? And they disbelieved our abd. And one, just go right to the end of this verse where it says, قَالُوا مَجْنُونَ, which is about five lines here. وَقَدْ لَبِثَ فِيهِمْ نُوحٌ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ إِلَّا خَمْسِينَ عَامًا. And Nuh lived amongst those people, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, for 950 years. يَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ, a millennium, 50 years short of a millennium, calling them to Allah. لَكِنَّهُمْ كُلَّمَا دَعَاهُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ لِيَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ جَعَلُوا أَصَابِعُهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ حَتَّى لَا يَسْمَعُوا قَوْلَهُ. However, every time he called them to Allah, so that Allah would forgive them, they put their fingers in their ears, so that they would not hear him. وَاسْتَغْشَوْ ثِيَابَهُمْ حَتَّى لَا يَرَوْهُ, and they covered themselves up with their garments so they wouldn't even see him. وَلَا أَبْلَغَ مِنْ هَذَا الْإِسْتِكْبَارِ أَنْ يَضَعَ الْإِنسَانُ يَدَهُ فِي أُذُنَيْهِ حَتَّى لَا يَسْمَعَ قَوْلَ الدَّاعِي. And there is no way to go further into arrogance for a human being than to put your fingers in your ears to block yourself from hearing the statement of the one who's calling you. وَأَنْ يَسْتَغْشِيَ ثَوْبَهُ فَيَتَغَطَّ بِهِ حَتَّى لَا يَرَاهُ. and that he would take his garments on top of that, to close his ears off with his fingers, and to take his garments and cover up his face so that he won't even have to see that messenger. Don't see the messenger, don't hear the messenger, and they feel they don't have to respond to the messenger. Wallahu al-musta'an. And this place right here is the end of the tafsir of that verse, or the end of that statement. وَقَالُوا مَجْنُونٌ. We'll begin with that in our next class, insha'Allah ta'ala. هَذَا وَصَلِّ اللَّهُمَّ وَسَّلِّمْ وَبَارِكْ عَلَىٰ نَبِيَّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ. Any corrections, comments, or questions regarding this material today? Ameen. Exactly. Ameen says, Adam will direct the people to Nuh. When Adam excuses himself, he'll say, اذهبوا إلى نوح. Exactly. Ahsant. And Nuh, and Adam will say on that day, Nuh is the first of Allah's messengers. Ask him. Jazakallahu khairan.
You mentioned
the what?
The fruit as Adam. Adam came from the apple.
There you are. Akhla min al-shajara, sorry. He ate from the tree. Aywa? Jazakallah. Yeah. Jazakallah khairan. Ahsant. I said from the apple. We don't know if it's an apple, but the Christians say it was an apple. What we say is, he ate from the tree. And that has its meaning. Allah Azza wa Jal knows best. Jazakallah khairan. Appreciate that very much. Aywa? Any other corrections, concerns, questions? Going once, going twice. Sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillahi rabbil